Okay, we're holding on Chafeil and Beis. We're going on ahead with the new Perek. Chapter 3. Tzvi, we're about to begin. About to begin chapter 3, Tzvi. 25% of the way done. Hatoyim kishos v'nin samara. Person separates truma from a, separates a cheap melon. And it turns out that it's bitter. Avtiach, or watermelon, we're going to translate up here. V'nim says soruach, it's spoiled. Truma v'yachsav
yitroim. You translate the first word as a melon, not a cucumber?
It says at the top, shaped melon. The bottom, he has alternatives, which might it might be cucumber, and it might not be. I don't know. Whatever it is. So it's truma v'yachsav yitroim. Then it's truma, and he has to separate truma again. Why? Why is it truma? Why is it truma?
Truma on the bottom.
I'm asking the oilam what they think.
Oh, it's a suffix because we're not sure whether or not.
You're not sure when it became bitter, right? It could be that you were mafresh the truma and it wasn't bitter, and later it turned bitter. So that's why it's a suffix, and therefore it is truma mi suffix. And Yaksav Yitrom, you have to take another truma in case it was bitter from the very beginning. Okay?
Can count. He give both those to the coin? What does he do?
What? He has to give them both to the coin. Correct. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second. Hatarim Chavis Shoyayin. Similarly, now we're on Chavav Amar Aleph. Similarly, if someone takes a barrel of wine as truma, for other wine, v'nim to shalchemetz, and then when you open up the barrel, it's vinegar. Say, im yadu ashay to shalchemetz, ashloi tarma. If you knew that it was vinegar before you took the truma, so then obviously in a truma, it's not going to be truma because you can't take vinegar as truma on yayin. Shnei minim hein, right? That's what we said before, that there are two minim. V'misha truma hechmitza. If it became vinegar after he had taken the truma, then of course it's already a truma. V'im sofik, if you don't know, then what? Truma v'yachsav v'yitrom, same din. It's funny that in the second case, you notice that there's a lot more verbiage about the sofik. If it was before, then it's this way. If it's after, it's that way. And if it's a sofik, it's that way. In the beginning of the Mishnah, it just said, if I take it, you know, up tiach for them says tomorrow, yaksav yitrom. It didn't go through all the mechanics here of this. Right. Why did that? Why is that?
I was going to ask you that.
With the vinegar, you should have opened the barrel first. With the melon, it's a sealed thing. I mean, you're not going to know about it until after you give it to him or whatever, and he go cuts it open, and then you see that it's spoiled.
And therefore, what?
And therefore, by the vinegar. There's more.
You're trying to explain why the Mishnah goes into an arichas? Is that going to explain why the Mishnah was myrach by the wine?
Right, you mean it's the same exact din in both cases, no matter what.
It's exactly the same. And yet the Mishnah has such an arichas by the yayin and by the avtiach, it didn't speak out anything. You have to figure it out, right? I just want to say that a balbazache answer, I mean, I don't know if this is the answer. I didn't look into this at all. Just the thing that hit me is that when it comes to a watermelon, as you all know, when you buy a watermelon in the store, you're going to open it within a week. You're going to usually buy it on Thursday, you open it up on Shabbos. It's not going to be long before the time you buy the watermelon. You're not going to buy a watermelon on January 1st and open it up January 31st. That never happens like that. Very rarely. So therefore, it's you bought it, v'nimtza smara, and then later you open it up, very shortly thereafter you opened it up. By the yayin, you buy a barrel of wine. A barrel of wine can sit in your cellar for months before you open it up. So therefore, it's much more of a, you know, it's an event. So it speaks out these details. I don't know. I don't know.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. All right. Now, the Mishnah is going to make a distinction between these two trumas that you're taking, right? The first one might be a truma, And the second one might be a truma. What's the difference between the first one and the second one?
What are you calling the first?
Hari Shaina. The first one is the first one. That's the first hafrasha that you did, right?
Okay.
Now we're going back to we're going to be mafresh two trumas. Truma, v'yatsa, v'yatrum. So Hari Shaina is the first one that you did. It's not going to make other chulin. If it gets mixed into the chulin, it's not going to make it dimua, right? Because you don't know. Maybe it's not truma. So it's suffix dimua, right? So let's take a look. So what? So if it's a suffix dimua, so why wouldn't that create a problem? So in four, he describes the difference. See, minoy raisa. If you have truma that falls into a similar type of min mamino, right? So if you have wine of truma that falls into other wine of chulin, so min ha toiro, what's the din? Go basa roif. There's a din, the din, if roif of it is chulin, then the truma is batal. If something is, what is the shir darabanan? We say it's got to be bottle and one in 100, right? That's a din drabbanon that they remark on to be 100. I think that's what it says here, right? As long as the permitted food constitutes the majority, rabbinic decree, however, it's one in 100, okay? Now, that does not apply. That difference, that chumah drabbanon, that it's one in 100, does not apply if it's a suffix. So when the Mishnah says it doesn't make dimua, it means it doesn't make the mua where you require one in 100 to be mavatal it.
Is it suffix for rice or is it suffix for rabban?
Since it's a suffix whether it is truma or not truma, therefore we falozach on the din de oraisa that you can go basa rov. That's what it's saying. It's not doesn't make the mua means it doesn't make a din de mua like on a regular truma, which requires one in 100. That's the shot over here.
And we don't say suffix to rice for chumer.
Even if you're going to say suffix to rice for chumer, which is, you certainly do have to say that here because you don't know whether it's truma or not. So it is a suffix to rice. You are going to have to go to chumer to treat it like truma. But when it comes to a taruvis, rabbanon will never machmer on a suffix to say you require 100. It's enough to bring it up to the level of the oraisa that it requires rov. Okay? In the brackets, maybe this will help you out a little bit here. It says this leniency is unique to cases involving questionable truma. For as a general rule, an item that is subject to an uncertainty of the biblical level must be treated strictly, even with regard to applications pertaining to rabbinic law. So, I'm not exactly sure how to frame exactly what he's trying to say here. I guess there are going to be other types of cases like the suffix, like suffix d'oraisa, where a suffix d'oraisa, you got to go to chumra, look how we all have halachas. So, this anyway, I'll kapon. That's what it says over here. Okay. Harishana, anyone who wants to think atzma, veikayol v'lachaymish. If a person eats truma b'shagig, he has to pay the keren and the chaymish. So, but why doesn't he have to pay the chomish over here? So, what if it's a suffix? So there's no knas. There's no knas. It's not. So what you're saying is, the keren he has to certainly pay because it is what. The coin's going to get it. Sure, you're going to have to give it to the coin, right? It might be truma.
Yeah, but he ate it already.
No. Hold on a second. Before he eats it, let's just talk. I'm talking. Before, I just want to talk. Before he eats it, who's? It's mum and coin.
It's
mum
and coin, but it's spoiled.
It's actually. No, I'm not talking about spoiled. No. You're right. Okay. Your mom is jumping head over here. Well, I mean, what you're raising an issue over here. Okay. In other words, what you just said is a problem. You're raising a big problem over here. I'll get back to that in a second. Normally you eat truma, you chayav keren v'chaymash, right? Over here. Okay, so over here, we're still talking about the Rishayna, right?
Yeah.
The Rishayna. So the Rishayna is the one that were masupik. When did it spoil?
Right.
Did it spoil before I was mafresh it, in which case it's not truma? Or did it spoil after I was mafresh it, in which case it is truma? Now, if it is truma, but it's spoiled, and I eat it, am I chayav keren v'chaymash?
Only keren.
So then what was the whole shaila over here? Here it sounds like it's that the Rishonim, I'm only chayav. Okay. I thought that it was Masha from this Mishnah. Let's see. The requirement to, let's look at the second paragraph of 5. The requirement to separate the principal but not the surcharge reflects a basic distinction between these two obligations. Replacing the truma itself is an atonement for the sin of eating it. Okay? So payment of the surcharge is not part of the atonement process. It's a knas. That's what it says over here. It's a monetary fine the Torah imposes for illegally eating truma b'shogeg. Accordingly, if you eat suffik truma, you got to replace the principal because he possibly transgressed and requires atonement. He still needs the atonement, right? But he's not required to add the surcharge because it's a knas. This is
the mission. I mean, the Kohen has no right.
You're not going to be able to eat it, though, because it's suffik truma, right?
You don't have to give it to the Kohen.
So if I give it to the Kohen, he'll have to reimburse me.
No, I'm talking about the knas
part. Oh, the knas part.
The truma itself, it's not between him and the Kohen. He has to get a kapara for doing it the way he does it.
You're talking about after he ate it. Okay, right. So he ate it b'shogeg. Right. I want to just, for a second, can we just talk a second before he eats it? Before he eats it, is he going to have to give the coin that first hafrasha, or is he going to sell it to the coin? Because, like you said, how much of havel haraya? Mm-hmm. How do you coin know that this is truma? We don't know for sure this is truma. It might have been spoiled before I was mafresh. So therefore, I'm going to give this to you because it has a lot like truma, but you're going to have to reimburse me for it. That would be the din, right? Am I right about this?
That first one was worthless anyway.
That's really getting to Shamsi's point. If it's really not an oichel, in other words, then there'll be no shaila here at all. And you ate nothing. He's chayiv the keren, for sure. He's just not chayiv the chaymish. So you ate something. You need a kapara. On the tzad that it was truma originally, even though it's mar now, even though it's chaymitz now, right? You still need a kapara because, I mean, I think it's a little easier in the seifa probably, because in the seifa, it changed from wine to vinegar. Vinegar still has a use. In the case of the reisha, where it was an aptiach that became bitter, that might be a little more difficult to understand. So maybe we should focus on the seifa to make it easier. But I was when dealing with your question, I think that might lie in the heart of the matter. If it's bitter right now, and we say that a bitter a cucumber is not an oichel at all, so then the game over. You don't have to give it to the Kohen, and if you eat a peshogi, you shouldn't have to pay for anything. But it doesn't sound that way from the Mishnah. The Mishnah makes it sound like we're talking about everything in the ratio of the Mishnah. I'm not sure. Harishayna. Maybe it's only going on the sefer. I didn't think of that. Does anybody say that?
But he said, even if it's ruach, it's still truma.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Let's leave it as a question for now. We're going to have to be more iron into that. The case of the ratio. The sefer, it's clear, right? The sefer, that we understand. We have wine, we have vinegar. They both are useful. They are both edible. And that's an easier case. Okay, let's leave that case. Okay, so what the Mishnah Rishonah says as a chiluk between the Chaimish and the Karen is he says that the Karen is necessary for Kapara, the Chaimish is just a Knas, and therefore Misafik, you don't have to pay it. Rav Kiveger strongly disagrees with the Mishnah Rishonah. He says that's not true. The Chaimish is also a chiluk of the Kapara. So, why Taka Yunachai have to pay the Chaimish? So in that, you have to look in the textual interpretive variants. He says the Kohen's right to the surcharge does not derive from his right to the original Truma. His right to the surcharge is part of the penalty that are imposed on the non-Kohen. So the non-Kohen is obligated to give him the surcharge for free. That's a separate thing. Hold on a second. Yeah, sorry. When our Mishnah states that a non-Kohen inadvertently ate the questionable truma is not subject to an additional fifth, it means only he's not required to give the surcharge for free. He is, however, obligated to separate the fifth, just as he's obligated to separate the principal. That's what he's saying. In other words, there's a chaimish, but he has to be mafresh the chaimish. He doesn't have to give it to the Kohen for free. Okay, let's go on. The same thing is true with the second one. They have the same basic halachas. Noflachas mein l'tah chulin. If one of them fall into a regular chulin, enema damasan, so we just said, it's not going to make it a dimua. Noflashni l'maka macher, the second one fell into another group of chulin, also doesn't make it. Now what happens if they both fall into the same pot? So now mimanashach, either the first one was good, or the second one was good, right? So we got Vadai Truma in here, Mimanashach. Noflashne l'maka mechad, so medamais kiktanash b'shnei. And then it's obviously going to make it for sure dimua, but according to the smaller portion. What's the smaller portion? The smaller portion is obviously the second portion, because the first portion you took off 1/50th, so 1/50th is missing. Now you're going to take off another 50th of the remainder, so that's the smaller portion. So it'll be medameya according to the smaller portion. Next. Zokta Gemara. Nichlav tiyachanim sasarach. The Gemara asks a practical question. We understand that a watermelon can be found to be spoiled. So it might have been edible at the time it was separated. You treat it as possible truma. Kishos v'nimsos mara, but where you have a chait melon, is found to be bitter. Lo mi karhi mara, wasn't that bitter from the very get-go, from the time it had grown, right? It doesn't become bitter, it's bitter, right? Because chait melons, he says, generally do not become bitter. If it's bitter, it was bitter from the very beginning. So it should have definitely been invalid. That's the one that's kasha. And Rabbi Yochanan, also oisan kesafik oichal.
Well, it didn't need truma.
What?
You're taking these chait melons. I'm assuming they're all bitter. The ones you're taking from, too.
No. The discussion at hand is only the one that you're mafresh. So you're going to tire him, kishos, but nimsa smara, the one that I was mafresh was bitter.
You're taking those chait melons for
other chait melons. So I have 100. I have 50 chait melons. I take out one of the chait melons for 1/50th and make a truma. Okay. Now when I cut it open, I find it's bitter. The Gemara says if it was bitter, then it was bitter from the time it was born, right? So Bjarkanen says also oisam kesafik oichal. They treated bitter chait melons as questionable food, meaning there is a general doubt whether a bitter chait melon is chashav and oichal or not. So there's a general suffix about this kind of food: is it oichal? Is it not oichal? Okay, so therefore, that's why you got to do it over again. Okay, now Rav Yonah Bai, what about other areas of halacha? Did they treat bitter chait melons as questionable food regarding all matters? Only with regard to truma. So we have examples over here. Let's see. Mitame Tumas Eichlin. If it was, if the bitter chait melon touched a source of tuma, does it become Latame, right? Because if it's not a food, right? Edible food, 14. Edible food can become Tame when it comes in contact with Tumah. Or Nevela, Sheretz, whatever. But food that's unfit for human consumption is generally not susceptible to Tumah. So is a bitter chait melon regarded in this respect as definite food? So it will contract Tumah or not? That's the first question.
Is it edible and just is bitter?
Well, that is the question. The sarfanois of a tumah, if it was tamei, as you know, right? If eichlin, that's truma, becomes tamei, what do you do with it? You burn it, right? So you have another one. Question is, if it's definite food, it definitely becomes tamei, and you would burn it like any other tamei. But if it's suffic, then we would not be obligated to burn it, apparently. So the assumption here is that the obligation to burn truma that became tamei is a rabbinical law. So therefore, you could be lenient in a case of a suffix. Interesting. All right. If you have a bitter chait melon that was truma, is a non-kohen have to pay a fifth for it? That's an obvious one. Like and allow uchutz l'chaima. Here, if you had, let's suppose you made it Maaser Sheni. So if you eat Maaser Sheni outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, you get Malkus. Lo sucha lecho b'sharecho, right? So let's say. Erev ba, let's suppose you make an Erev Tchumen, then Nasech Hamar Gamal. This is the famous rule, right? You know the rule, right? You have a city. Person who just is in the city has 2,000 amos in each direction, right? If you make a Erev Tchumen on your east side to go an additional 2,000 out, so you'll get 4,000 that way, you lose your 2,000 on the other side, right? You'll be able to go 4,000 east and only to the edge of the city west. Well, let's suppose I put a melon there, Erev Shabbos, which turned out to be a bitter melon. So now, maybe it was a good Erev Tchumen, Bein HaShmashas is when you're kind of the Tchumen. So if it was a valid food then, so you were kind of shvisa, and you get the 4,000 amos. If it wasn't valid, if it was already bitter, Bein HaShmashas, then that's an invalid Erev, right? In which case, you'll retain your 2,000 amos. So therefore, what you have here is you have a Hamar Gamal, which means a push-me-pull-you thing. Where one's pulling one way is pushing the other way, meaning that on the tzad that it's good, you lost the 2,000 amos on the east, and the tzad that it's bad, you lost the additional 2,000 amos on the west.
Because a camel, you leave from the front, and a donkey, you leave from the back.
Right, so you're going to lose on both. You lose on both sides. You lose because you don't know. You know, if it's a suffix, you don't know. Next, 26b, Chafavon and Beis, Tamon Amar B'yaykanon. In a different context, we have a kikur shenit with b'safik b'shus hayachid. So let's suppose, right, when you have safik tumah b'shus hayachid, what's the din? Safik tumah b'shus hayachid is what?
Tomei.
Safik tumah b'shus harabim is tahar. Let's suppose I have a safik tumah b'shus hayachid on that touches an eichel, and that eichel touches something in b'shus harabim. So what's the din in that case? So normally the din is, that's what it says here. Kikur shenitma b'safek k'shus hayachid. So you had it became tomei, and then the rule is that it's tomei, right? Because you pass in that it's safek tomei k'shus hayachid is tomei, and then it touched something k'shus harabim. So the halacha is it's tomei. The second item is likewise tomei. Why? Because even though it's a safek, now that's negayan k'shus harabim, that's not the way it works. What you do is you first pass in on the food. The food was safek tumah in Rosh Hashanah. You gave a psak that it has halacha of tumah. Now the fact that it's Rosh Hashanah Rabim, it doesn't make a difference. You had a vadai tumah in Rosh Hashanah Rabim now. You don't go back to the original Shiloh, right? That's true of a lot of things. Okay. But here, however, when it comes to a bitter chait melon, here it might be tahar, even in Rosh Hashanah, even in the private domain. Why? Because you have shtei sekes. What's shtei sekes? You have a safek tumah b'shus hayachid. Maybe it touched tumah. Maybe it didn't touch tumah. And you have a second safek. Maybe it's bitter and it's not eichel. So that's a sveik sveika, and therefore it wouldn't be considered food. Here he's saying a very interesting thing. He says that when it comes to kishos, the only bitter part is the very center. But the outside part is going to be edible, and that's not the shayla. And case in oasis, so what do? You just meisif keneged the inside of it, because the inside is what's really bitter, the outside is not really bitter. You just add on to the to the outside to be mashlim the shear you're missing from the inside to compensate, right? Now, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi, because our Mishnah says you have to take a full measure of truma if you find that the chait melon was bitter. It doesn't say you just take the inside part to be mashlim and you take the outside originally because it's considered good. So the Mishnah is not like this Maimer of Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara wonders, how can there be a dispute about that? It's L'chara Machlokes and Metzias. Here you have a Yerushalmi asking the kasha that we always ask in Yeshiva. How can there be a Machlokes? It's a Machlokes and Metzias. Here the Yerushalmi is asking that kasha right here. Rabbi Yomim Bar Levi, boy, Dover She'afshon L'chola Ha'moido L'chacham L'chalukhanot, something that you can figure out yourself by simply tasting it. Taste the inside of the outside of this melon. And is it sweet? It's sweet. If it's not sweet, it's not sweet. What? How can you have an argument whether it's sweet or not, right? So Moses says, Allah, Ikab du Kosm Chalukim, they're arguing about the bitter chait melons as in general, meaning in number 8 it explains it. Rabbi Yossi and the sages are in agreement. Even the outer section of the chait melon has a bitter taste to some extent. They argue only whether that level of bitterness is sufficient to possibly render it inedible. So Rabbi Yossi holds that the bitter taste is so slight, it doesn't render that portion even as possibly inedible, and therefore you can be mafresh using the outside. But the Chachamim hold no, that even that level of bitterness is enough to create a suffix, and therefore you can't use it. That's how he's explaining the Gemara. That's a pretty nice thing. Yep. Tom Thomas and this is Magula. Now here is a very interesting question. You all know about giloy, right? So if you have something uncovered, you're afraid that a snake came and drank from it. Let's suppose I was tired from a barrel of wine, and I find, when I go and I look at the barrel of wine, I find the cover was off of it. So now I don't know. If something was uncovered, I'm going to the times of Chazal where this applied. If it was uncovered before I did the truma, then it's poison, right? We have to treat it like poison, and it's also to drink it. In which case, the hafrasha is not a good hafrasha. Very interesting rule. It could be, there's an issur to drink it on me because I have to be worried. Maybe a snake put some poison in there. But it's that issur is enough to disqualify the hafrasha because that renders it inedible to an extent.
So I assume you can't give that to the
kohen. You can't do it. Yeah, obviously, but you can't even use it for hafrasha's truma.
You can't even use it yourself.
Right. This is Megula. Of Tiafinus and Nokor, the same thing as if you find bite marks, you have the same problem. Truma v'yachsum, then it's truma because it might be truma because maybe you were mafresh it before the snake got to it, before it got uncovered. But it may have been uncovered before you were mafresh the truma. So therefore you have the same din. If you'd have been positive, loy amru ela nimsa nokor. They only said that if you found it to be punctured, halachachila in trumas in truma. But if, to begin with, you saw that it was punctured, then avada, you can't take truma, because then before you even took the truma, you had the suffix. Rabbi Yaakov Drumaya, boy, come here, Rabbi Yossi, lamastavra. El v'sharoa, I say, no care. That's only if you actually saw a poisonous snake puncturing the melon, rendering it unfit for consumption. In other words, he doesn't buy that if you just see a bunch of puncture marks, that maybe there's a snake that... He doesn't feel that way. It ought to be deemed questionable truma since there is a doubt as to whether, in fact, it was bitten by a snake. Now, Amalei, so he dismissed it. He said, no, yadehu emhitavoi ares. Even in the case where the snake was seen biting it, Do you know that the snake excreted the venom into the thing when he bit it? Right? You don't know. So you agree that such a melon is definitely unfit for truma because he might have put the venom in there. So then if that's the case, then when you have a bite mark, it should be good enough even if you didn't see the snake bite it. Anyway, so the Gemara asks...
Yeah, so what's the end
there? The end is that it's osur in every event. Let's just finish up the Gemara for a couple more lines. Chavraya ba'in kumi Rabbi Yossi. So the scholars ask the question, Mabi nola tumi, what's the difference between this suffix and suffix tumma? Or not suffix tumma, when something becomes tumma. If truma becomes tumma, you can't eat it, right? But yet we said that if you're mafresh tumma on tara, but the evidence is good half Russia. So they wanted to know, what's the difference? How come when it comes to something that's bitter or something that the snake may have bit from, that what? You say what? That the whole truma is no good. When it comes to tumah, you say that, but the evidence is good. That's their question. Why? Why is that the case? So my answer is, Amalain, he said, tumah be'enohu. Tumah, it's inherently unimpaired. Truma, he shugarma, it's the designation of truma that caused it to have its special halacha. They have to burn it. Bram hacha, so it's still food. Bram hacha, offerhu. Here, once we're afraid that it had some poison in it, it's like dust in the wind, right? You can't do anything with it. You can't feed it to your animals. You can't do anything with it. So that's the difference. That's the difference in the suffix. Adkan, page, cough off.
If you want to feed it to your animals,
you cannot feed it to your animal.
Because
it might kill the animal and it's baltash.